Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for this 139th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Degen Guled. She is originally from Djibouti, a small country with a population of 860,000 people on the Horn of Africa. It neighbors Somaliland, Somalia, Eritrea, and Ethiopia. She moved to the United States in 2001, first to Los Angeles and Phoenix, and then to Maine in 2013 with her husband. They work, study, and raise their three children in Portland, Maine. Thank you very much for joining me this morning, Degen.
Thank you, Kate.
I think it's safe to say that most Mainers probably don't have a good mental image about what Djibouti might look like. I wonder what you can tell us about the landscape and the culture of your home country.
And Djibouti is like a small country, is surrounded sea, red sea. The image I have now, last time I visited was 2008.
Is it right on the Gulf of Aden?
Yes. You're just going to take a boat across to see Yemen. It's not that far from Djibouti.
My understanding is that Djibouti, being a really small country with low population, more than 50% of the people live in the city of Djibouti.
Yes.
And is that where you grew up?
Yes.
And is that right on the Red Sea?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
And then the good thing that I remember in my childhood was every Friday going to the beach with my brother and sister and all my family and spending all day at the beach and eating there. That was the best memory I have in my childhood.
Oh, I love that. So kind of like here in Maine, except you could do it all year round.
Yes. Yeah, the weather is all the same. It doesn't change the weather. Most of summertime is very, very hot, so there's not a lot of people stay inside the house, so
sure.
Everybody leave.
It's close to the equator there.
Yes.
Yeah. Are the beaches white sands and bluish water?
You know, it's blue, green, all color. The more you go far, a little farther, the color change.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. You can, yeah. And it's all clean, and the water is salty. So, and then we have the best fish.
Yeah?
Yeah, because the fish grow up in the water with
high salinity, right?
Yeah, yes.
Very salty.
Yeah, very salty. So when you cook, it's like very, I miss that.
You do.
Yeah.
I bet that sounds really good. And those local flavors are things we carry with us that we noticed you can't reproduce in other places.
No, it's very hard to replace that.
Where's the best place to get fish here in Portland that you have found?
I try all kind of fish, all kind of restaurant fish, but they never have the...
They're not even close.
No.
The Gulf of...
Yeah.
In the Red Sea, yeah. Have the best fish. So, Djibouti is quite dry, isn't it?
Yeah, very, very dry. Yeah.
There's not enough arable land to grow enough food for the people.
No, we import them from neighbor country, such as Ethiopia. Ethiopia has, we buy from them, and because it's hard to grow some vegetable or any kind of...
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so dry.
Yes.
You have to do a lot of carrying by hand.
Yes.
Yeah. So Djibouti's greatest asset economically seems to be its strategic location, connecting the Red Sea to the Gulf of Aden. And in fact, that was important to your family too. Can you tell us about your father's work?
Oh, my father, he used to do import-export from a neighbor country. He used to go in Ethiopia and Yemen and Somalia. So, I was 3 years old when he died, and my mother took over his business, and she was working. And then my grandma moved in with us so she can take care of us, so my mom can go to work, can feed us.
Yes, a classic extended family kind of situation.
Yeah, because my grandmother, she's from Ethiopia, a place called Deredawa. Yeah, so she has to move into Djibouti. So
your grandmother was from Ethiopia?
Yeah. There is a Somali people who live in Ethiopia, part of Ethiopia. There is called Deredawa.
Yeah. Interesting. So is there a lot of movement between these places, Ethiopia, Djibouti, Somaliland?
Yeah, because we speak the same language all, because there is a people who live, and there is a part of Kenya too, Somali Kenya, there is Somali Ethiopia, there is Somalia, and there's Somaliland, and there is Djibouti. We speak the same language, but the only difference is we have different accent, different dialogue.
So it's kind of like an American in the Northeast here. We know when someone is from the South, and we pick that right up.
Yes.
But we understand.
Yeah, and now in Maine, you can tell when the person is from Djibouti and when the person is from Somalia, you can tell.
Yes, just by listening to
by
the
listening and how they talk, yeah.
Yeah. So what else can you tell us about your childhood in Djibouti? What kinds of memories do you hold on to from that time of your life? Were there things that you and your two brothers and your sister liked to do as kids?
Always we used to, there is not a lot of toys that time then I was growing up. So we used to build our own toys. We used to do every, we used to ride the bike around the neighborhood, and we used to play popular is the soccer that all the boys play, and I used to be part of that
when you were a little boy.
Yeah, I used to love soccer.
yeah
I used to love soccer too.
What kinds of toys would you create?
Oh, we used to create that. It now is car. If you want to build a car, you just take the cuff, a little box, and make a hole, and then bring the stick, put it in there, and then the wheel.
Oh, yeah.
The wheel is, you take the cover of the, there is a coat cover.
Like a lid?
Yeah, and you put the wheels.
Oh, the little lids to a bottle.
Yes.
The bottle, cap.
Yes.
Yes.
And then you put it in.
I love that. Make your own toys.
Yes.
So it lasts twice as long. You probably love it even more.
Yes.
Yeah. Since coming to the United States, you have certainly learned a lot. You already spoke Somali and French, and you have learned English. But you've also learned how to navigate a very different culture here. You've experienced work from many, many different positions, like cashier, secretary, parking attendant, waitress, retail, customer service, etc. And now you want to use what you've learned to help other new arrivals. What do you think is important for new people to understand when they come to the United States?
My advice is to the people who come from, it doesn't matter what country they are, when they come to America, the best thing I would advise them to learn the language first. Always make sure that you understand when person is telling you something you need to understand, or if you don't, you just bring somebody or just translate. If you speak another language, you use the Google Translate so you can understand. And then learn the American culture. I'm not saying you change your culture, but it's very important to learn the American culture. Is the culture and the system, the more you learn, the more you understand, and then you can move on. And then sometimes it's hard, people, when they don't speak English, and people, a lot of people take advantage of them. They always make them push, do something that they don't. They just say, oh, this paper, you just, they explain to them, but the wrong way. So, and a lot of people sign a paper or sign a release or sign a credit card, and they get the bad credit for something a little that they didn't understand, and they sign it. So I will make sure that I've never sign any paper, any document, until you know what is in there, or just tell them, oh, you want me to sign this? Or, and then you don't understand, just tell them, I will be, can I make another appointment so I can take this paper and make sure I understand, and take that paper and then go find someone, explain to you, and then you sign in. Just don't sign any paper, and because a lot of people take advantage of the new people when they come to America, and they have little English. So
that's really good advice.
Yes, that's
I think many people probably don't realize how aggressively new immigrants are targeted.
Yes.
And they want them to sign up for this phone plan.
Yeah.
And suddenly, you know, you're in debt, and now you can't rent an apartment.
No, there is no way you can rent an apartment. You can, the most important is the apartment where you're living. And they just tell you, oh, I'm sorry, you have a bad credit. And then a lot of people get hurt for that, and they have to end up, if they want to buy a car and they don't have a car and they have one job, and there is no way they can say no, and then the interest rate is very high because they have a bad credit, and those people, they don't have a choice to take that car and they pay a lot of interest.
It's so disheartening, yeah. Because these are people who are working all night, at a fish packing plant or something, and they're exhausted, they're working super hard, and they see how people are doing it, and people say, this is how you do it. So they say, okay, I'll sign up for that credit.
And some other person just take the phone, and he come home, and he say, I got a phone from the store, and they just give it to me, and they just say, pay $13, $20 a month. And it's very, and then it sounds easy, but at the end, it's like, and then something happened to that phone, and then you need another phone. You have to end up paying all that money.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the phone you're not using anymore.
No. Yeah. So make sure all the new coming, make sure you don't, the only advice I have is never sign any paper or document.
Right. Without, and nothing's free. If they're giving it to you for free.
Yeah. Nothing is free because America, the credit is your life. And then the 9 number that you have is your life. That's it.
Yes.
Yeah. And the system, and find out the system, how it works, and then make sure that you understand the system, American system.
I think that's great that you're around to advise new immigrants about how to do this. And I want to say also, there's the Center for Financial Literacy, Community Financial Literacy, CFL, and they also help people learn how to manage their credit, how to save. Some people have always just lived hand to mouth. They don't know how to balance a checkbook. You know, they haven't had enough money to balance.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So it's a big learning curve when you arrive here, not just English language, but financial literacy too.
Yeah, and I just want to add something else. It's like when they come new mirror, they come here, they pay their bill, they pay their rent, they pay everything they have. They don't depend on the government or anybody. They just need help on the first 6-7 months. And then after that, they take care of themselves.
I don't think everybody understands that fully.
Yeah.
I'm glad you made
that
point.
A lot of people, they don't understand. But people, when they come here, they work hard.
Yes. And when people come from refugee camps, they pay their airfare back.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's something, you know, there's...
Yeah, the payback,
Yeah, doing it at minimum wage during the night, packing boxes.
Yeah, and they pay their fare back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing when you think about it that people can overcome all the odds and do as well as they do.
Yeah.
Immigrants are so much more likely to start a business than the average citizen and certainly work 2 and 3 jobs.
Yeah, they have their mind full of American dream.
Yes.
Yeah, they know anything can happen in America. So in their mind, it's full of dream. So when they come here, they have a goal to reach on. Most of them, they get successful.
Yeah, it's exciting that that can happen after yes. so long of maybe not being in a place where you can dream.
Yes.
If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak, and my guest today is Degangulede. She is currently going to school full-time at Southern Maine Community College, studying social work. She works as a translator and a cultural broker for DHHS, Department of Health and Human Services, and she's the mother of three children, ages 9, 8, and 5 years old. So that brings me to my next question, which is, how on earth do you do all that? What's your secret for juggling all those responsibilities?
It's like you bring this world, your kids, and your life is your kids. And my kids in the morning, when they wake up, they just go to school around 8 o'clock. And then when they leave, before I leave at 9. So before they leave, they leave at 8 and I leave at 9. So I have a half an hour to make sure, clean that mess, and then leave. And then I come home at 2:30 before they get home. I ready their lunch. By the time they come at 3:15, 3:30, they have their lunch, just waiting 10, 20 minutes, and they have lunch together. We have lunch together. And because my kids are very picky, they don't eat at school. Yeah, so when, and then after that, they take 20 minute, 30 minute break, and then it's homework time, except on Wednesday, I take them swimming all day, and by the time they come at 6 home, they just do their homework, and then by 8 o'clock, 8:30, they go to bed. And then Saturday, Sunday, they go some place called Duxi to learn the Quran. And 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., they're all day over there.
On Saturday
on
and Sunday?
On Sunday, yes.
So they're basically in school 7 days a week?
7 days a week, yes.
And so it's an Islam
Yes.
school, a Quran study?
The Quran, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Oh. How do they feel about that?
Oh, they are excited.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Because when they come home, because I don't allow TV in my house, it's only after they come back, Saturday, Sunday, they watch each one two hours. And then that's all.
They're very excited. That's their time of rest.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. And so you get your studying done when they're at school or when they're asleep.
Yeah. When they sleep.
That's it.
Yeah. There is no way you can do homework on day awake.
Which raises the question, do you sleep?
Oh, I slept around 12. I sleep only 5 hours.
12 to 5?
Yeah, 12 to 5, yes.
Wow, that's not a lot.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Well, you're so light and bubbly and personable. I would be a little grumpy, I think.
I know, okay. I used to, since 2007, my first daughter, when she born, until now, is just fine. If I get 6 hours, I'm good.
That's yes. like really sleeping in 6 hours.
Yeah. I used to it. My body used to it.
I guess you have adjusted.
Mm-hmm.
So you met your husband, who is from Somaliland,
yes.
here in the United States.
Yes.
Is your husband's role in the family different here than it would be if you were living in Somaliland or Djibouti?
Yeah.
What's that like for you all here as a cultural shift?
In Africa, you know, in Africa, the men just, they don't do a lot. They have, but you, because you have your mom, you have your cousin, you have all your family, you have a maid, and his role is just to go and get a job, work, and to bring the money, and then the wife stay home. It's not like America. The wife stay home, take care of the kids, take care of the house, take care of his food, make sure he has everything ready, make sure his clothes is ready. But America is totally different. So he help out here. He work 12-hour shifts, but he helped me out with that kid. The good thing is that I don't go to work. I only work one day, and then I go to school. By the time they come home, I'm home with them. So that's the good thing, that he's providing the financial.
Yes, so yes. He earns the bulk of the salary.
Yes.
And you'd still do the bulk of the homework.
Home.
But you earn a little salary and he does a little home.
Yes.
That's a nice way to integrate into
yes,
this culture.
Yes, we work, yeah.
Do you think a lot of men who came from that paradigm where they were cared for and come here and have to care for themselves some more and have to participate more in family life, is that a difficult transition for them, or is it just necessary? You just do it.
Oh, no, it's very difficult because the first year or second year, the person when he come from back home is like shocked because he never did all this. He don't know. And this some man takes time, but most of the men, they help out because they see how life it is. And how the kids, he needs to take care of the kids, and he knows that there's nobody who's going to help his wife. So,
and the women work here.
Yeah.
Women, so that's the big difference, right? I mean, yes. If she were at home, they'd probably carry on the same roles.
Exactly.
But when she's working too, then somebody's got to make dinner. Yeah.
So the woman, when she goes to work, he stay home with the kids. And when he comes, she stay with the kids, always rotating. Hmm.
That's very interesting. I'd like to talk about that lots more, but there's more to come. So, okay. So tell us about your studies. What's it been like being a student at Southern Maine Community College?
Oh, I went back in 2015. First, before I went back to SMCC, I was in adult ed. I was refreshing my memory because I never been in school since 8 years because my daughter, when she born, and I forgot a lot of things. So I went back to adult to refresh my memory or see how school works, how the things I forgot, give me my brush up.
A little refresher.
Yes. Yes. And then after I took my high school diploma from adult, I went directly to the SMCC. I took the AQPRI test, and then I went to start my major. And then now I'm in the social work program, and I'm hoping, I'm planning to have my bachelor after that. And then I don't know, I didn't decide yet to have my master because, inshallah, we don't know what is going to happen in life. Or now I have 2 steps, and then I will see what happens. Those 2 steps, and then...
That's a lot of planning while you have kids and everything else. So you plan to finish at SMCC this fall?
Yes.
And then go on for 2 more years of a bachelor's degree?
Yes.
Which is a really economical way to do it, to get your 2 first years at community college.
College, yeah. It helps a lot, and all the teachers over there, oh my goodness, they're so sweet, and they help. They understand when the person is not his first language, and then he has to translate to French to all the way to English, and some word, and the vocabulary is totally different, but they understand. And when you give away an essay or any paper, sometimes they say, oh, can you go to tutoring?
And to tutoring?
Sure, yeah, yes. And then make sure you understand, and then give you hope, you know. This person didn't give you a grade yet, but she give you a chance to go to tutoring department, so you can just see where you make the mistake and correct them, and then give her back the paper.
Yeah. And there are a lot of immigrants at SMCC from all over the world.
Yeah, a lot of them, yeah. We a lot.
We met there last week when we were doing the pre-interview, and we walked through the writing center.
It was...
So there's help all the time.
All the time, yes.
Because it's one thing to hear English and be able to speak English, but to become really literate and fluent... Yeah. Takes a lot of one-on-one support.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's there for people.
Yeah, and the people are willing to help, and then...
Yeah, that's super.
Yeah.
So what are you hoping to do with your degree when you complete your studies at your bachelor's level? Do you know?
I would love to do a talk show.
Really?
Yeah, that was my dream.
Well, you've come to the right place, my friend.
And then I used to say, oh, I'm going to go and do some talk show in Somali and English and French and talk about the culture and talk about how's their life in America, and then bring people.
This is exciting news for me to hear. You could do that here. Yeah. You could do that at any number of outlets. I think people would love to hear more about your culture.
And what happened to our culture, and there is some funny story that is going to happen, and you tell that funny story and share with the people. I would love to do that.
But music and...
Yeah.
Yes, music. This sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Good, I can't wait for your show. You mentioned to me that you receive a scholarship that makes your studies possible. Can you tell us more about CSSP and how you find out about these things?
CSSP is a program, a giveaway at the South Portland. Is the career center. It used to be at the Lance, but they moved in. Now they in at the DHS department, and it's
a career center.
Yes, it's a career center.
Okay.
So you go apply over there, and I apply because one of my friends, her name is Nima, she told me that program. I was getting ready to go to school, and then I was thinking about the daycare and all that, and she told me that program helped a lot. And then I went there, and then I apply, and then it takes, I think, two months to go to the process, because there's a lot of people apply, and then...
It's not easy.
No, right? It's not easy.
It's not free money. I mean, it is free money, but you have to give paperwork and fill out the forms correctly.
Yeah,
and like
then
that.
They call you. You have to bring a lot of paper. You have to be patient with them. And then they always ask you, oh, you didn't do this. And then you make sure you complete all your package before you get the granted. But then after that, and then it's a good program. And if a lot of people who want to, degree is like the program is open to eligible minor residents with success posted second degree education, including certificate, a program, or 2 years or 4 years degree. They help out all that.
I think that's wonderful. I bet there are people who would like to go back and don't feel like they have the money to.
Yeah,
and then you have
to be 18 years old and older, and then there's a lot of people, and you can apply and take you.
Great.
Yeah.
So just briefly, if you have advice for other immigrants who want to go to college, what would you tell them?
Oh, go ahead.
Really?
There's a lot of people who get scared, and I always tell them, why not? You try, because on SMCC, they have an accuracy test, and then you will see how if you do the test and see how level you are, and if you're low, you can know which way you can learn and which way you can study. So you can go back home and then find someone on the computer. Now everything is easy. In the computer, you can learn
great.
A lot. Yeah.
Yeah, there's an ESOL program. And all kinds of tutoring
and
financial
then,
support.
And then come back and then take the test again, and it doesn't cost a lot.
Yeah.
And then see how you do it. And then after you get in SMCC, it's like, they help you a lot.
Good. Well, good to know that. Dugan, you are a kind and warm-hearted person. Your heart drives your work to support others in your community and
yes.
Everywhere you go, it seems. I wish you great success. And thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you, Kate, for having me. Thank you.
And thank you for listening. Please join us each week for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. If you would like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please visit newmainerspeak.com and check out more related information at facebook.com/newmainerspeak. New Mainers Speak is also rebroadcast on Mondays at 4:30 p.m. on WERU-FM in Blue Hill and Bangor, Maine. I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Dagan Guled. Would you introduce the song you've chosen for us to close today's program with?
This song came out a long time ago, but I'm in love with it. It's K9 Waving Flag.
This is a great song. I hope you'll enjoy.
All around us, sing forever young, singing songs of a new. Rejoice in the beautiful game, and together.